The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to this week's edition of the Two-Man Game with UNC head coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Glad to be with you guys again. And coach, we're recording this on a Thursday?
It's a Thursday.
It's
the 16th.
So two more days until, a lot of us don't get to see you guys in action,
right.
But you'll get to see you guys in action going up against your buddy's team.
Wyoming yeah.
Cowboys.
I'm excited. You know, you see in our world all these, you know, little, different accounts we follow, and there's secret scrimmages and there's exhibition games, right? And so, like, we had the secret scrimmage a week ago, and you can't talk about that or put the stats out, but then this is an exhibition game, right? So while it's not streamed, I mean, it's from what I'm understanding from Coach Sonny, like, it's going to be sold out in Gillette. And so, obviously, it's going to be public, right? So, like, the results are out there. The point being, like, Oklahoma State just beat Auburn in a exhibition game. So you're starting to see some results here and there, which it doesn't matter for us, but it's more exciting that, like, okay, now we've got an exhibition game. Now it's out there in the public. There's going to be a couple thousand fans there. Like, it just makes this thing feel more and more real. I think today is our 16th official practice, but it's really like our 56th practice of the year because of all the summer and fall and foreign trip practices. So point being, Brady, it is that time to really get ready to get going to games. And it's a very difficult time of the year too, in the sense of, you know, things change, but trying to make a decision, I got 16 guys, right? And when you start getting to the games, you're not playing, you know, yourself versus yourself, blue versus gold, blue versus white, right? You're only playing 8, 9, 10, 11 guys in something like this. There's going to be some guys that don't play, and that's hard because these guys are working hard. And things change. I think about a guy, for those that follow the Bears for a while, a guy like Coor John Cooch. You know, Coor, his first year, his freshman year, he probably didn't get into the first 8, 9, 10 games. And then we were getting just crushed at New Mexico State. It was all negative. And we threw him in the second half, and he was awesome. Two games later, he was starting. And so you're trying to for your guys that don't get as big of a role as what they hope and what you see for them right now, saying, hey, you know, marathon versus sprint, right? Like, you know, trees versus forest. We all want to play 40 minutes a game against, you know, Wyoming. But at the end of the day, whatever your role is, your lot in life is now, it could certainly change. So how do you keep them going? And I'll give you another thing, too, that – Did we tell this minutes per game last time?
Yeah.
So we did. So it's 339. You know, our guys, it came out to 339 minutes they think they're going to play. There's only 200 minutes in the game.
And it's not mathing.
It's not mathing, and it never does. And with that being said, no one had unrealistic minutes. We had a couple guys that said zero. We had a couple guys that said 0 to 5, 0 to 10. So it's not like we had a guy that's not going to play that said 35 that distorted it. The problem is there's 16 players. And I felt like they were all very realistic with what they could play, but you can't play them all. So you try to just show them that way too. But our guys are working hard, man, and they're working hard. They're excited. You know, there's a good buzz. There's a good buzz on campus, not to digress, but obviously with, you know, what football did last weekend with Idaho, I mean, there's a good vibe that way. And you look at last weekend, there was not a loss on campus. Volleyball swept. Idaho won. Or I'm sorry, football won against Idaho. Soccer tied. They didn't lose. They tied. And then swimming, the first winter sport to compete, they won. They beat Idaho as well. So you're sitting there. We had an undefeated weekend, you know, for the Bears. And so that's exciting. And next thing you know, volleyball, who had a tough start to the year because their schedule was just so hard, tied for second place.
Yep.
They're right back where they usually are. And chasing. I think they're 4-2. And first place is 4-1 in the Big Sky. And in football, with what they're receiving votes first time in Ever? I don't know.
I was thinking about it yesterday. I know they had some seasons where they won six games, but I don't know that they ever actually received votes.
I don't. I've been here 10 years. I can't recall that. And so, yeah, there's a vibe right now, and so it's exciting.
So, talk to me about that vibe, too,
sure.
Coach. I was discussing this yesterday, just on the football side. I came up here in 2005, and that was, I think, the first year of that transition from D2 to D1. And I remember talking to Kay Dalton. And he's like, and I was writing for the Mirror, UNC Mirror. Yep. So I'm like terrified, never talked to a head coach before outside of high school. And he's like sitting down. He's like, people don't realize how difficult this transition's going to be. And that was 2005.
It's hard. It's hard for everybody. But, you know, you look at like, you know, the transition, you know, a good friend of mine, Craig Rasmussen, he was the head coach during that transition to start off with.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there were some brutal seasons, but look at who they played. I mean, you want to look at Coach Rasmussen and one of the years. It was like at Syracuse, at Kansas, and it just never ended. And part of that was financially based. I had to play all those games to raise a bunch of money to start self-sustaining a Division I program. Division I costs a lot different than Division II costs. As we've moved forward, I think that the history is that several sports have found a way to be competitive, whether it's the basketballs, whether it's the volleyball, whether it's women's soccer had a bunch of championships. Football's had a tough time. And you can get into all the economics of it. I'm sure you've talked with Coach Lamb, you know, a million times. But at the end of the day, the big sky in football in their world is the best league in the country in, was it FCS, right?
Yeah.
And you got the Montanas in football that – they're rolling in 26, 27,000 people at a game.
Yeah.
I mean, and we had a great crowd at our homecoming game. We had a little north of 5,000 people. That's the economics.
Mm-hmm.
And so for what Coach Lamb's doing, and it's just – it's fun that his vision is literally kind of unfolding the way he saw it. Like, hey, we're going to take lumps, and we're going to take lumps.
It's kind of crazy.
It is right now. And you know, just being around Coach Lamb, you know, relatively on a daily basis, it's like, man – this dude knows what he's doing. But the problem is this, going into it, that football won back-to-back national championships. There is a lot of football love in this town. There's a lot of pride in the good old days, and rightfully so. But moving up to that level, the hardest one to move up would have to be football in terms of the amount of resources, because you're carrying 100 kids and the way the economics works, you got to charter these flights. You're not putting a football team on Southwest Airlines. You got to go rent a plane. And so, like, I think the economics is the hardest sport to make a transition from D2 to D1, I would assume. And to see what he's doing, like, now the vibe, like, people in the community are buzzing a little bit in a good way. And so it's certainly exciting.
Well, and we know this, like, when we're talking nationally, football, men's basketball, those two sports are typically the drivers. So if you can have those be successful on a consistent basis, yes, volleyball's great. Yes, wrestling's great, but not everybody is a volleyball fan. Not everybody is a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. So those sports are awesome, but we know kind of what drives it. And if you can have football paired with what you guys continue to do. You've talked about this, though, over the years, just wanting to grow it here in Greeley, you know, wanting to build not only your program, but build the buy-in there.
Yeah.
It's got to be easier if in the fall football's good and suddenly people are on campus coming to watch a football game, and then suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, here they got a really good basketball team, too. I want to check those guys out. You guys have driven a good crowd by yourself, but that only can only help.
Yeah, we want to grow. I mean, it's like, you know, we've been here a decade, and the little things we do, and like, you know, we got that upcoming roll call scrimmage, and I mean, it's the RSVPs, it's been great. Like, people are excited, but I do think, like, when you get football going, it helps the entire department. Everyone agrees with that on the department, and there's just to be 3-3 right now, 1-1 receiving votes halfway through the season, to keep it going is extremely exciting. So, for instance, I'll go backwards, October 25th. So what is that, in 2 weeks? I have committed. Now, it sounds like there's a much more special guest than me, but there's some type of pie-in-the-face contest. It's a fundraiser for a team on campus. And the people running it, I committed to. I was like, all right, I'll do it. You know, I had to check with the wife, are we going to be there or not? And the person running said, hey, you're probably not going to win this one, because the other person that's coming to it will probably get a little bit more traction. Like, I think it's like whoever raised the most money gets a pie in the face, right? So I think I'm safe on it, but I'm going to be there. But the point being is, to be at a game in later October in football, you got to have people there to say, hey, the basketball coach is here. Like, great. If there's no one there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But then the next weekend, Brady, November 1st, we are coming out. I think in like second quarter, the men's basketball team, they always recognize teams that win the championship the year before. So I'm screwing this up. I think it was volleyball. Volleyball went out to a game earlier. Football, hey, wave, whatever it is, hold the trophy up. We're doing that November 1st. I'm excited about that because we play November 3rd. Well, in years past, if football was struggling, there's probably not much of a crowd by November 1st, right? I believe November 1st, I think we play Montana State.
I think so.
I think that thing's going to be rocking. And so now when the men's basketball team walks out there November 1st, two games before our first game, we get to hold up our trophy, do our quick little 10-second promotional video, and say, hey, get to the basketball game. I think there will be fans, several thousand fans at the football game that will say, wait a second. There's a men's basketball game in 2 days, and I think we'll draw because of that. So yeah. I think it 100% matters to have your football team, you know, playing well and having people excited. And I just the vibe, man, the vibe in the community is it matters, and so it's really exciting.
Well, it just goes to show you, and I think you and I talked about this on the podcast too, because the growth with UNC basketball, you've been very successful with UNC, but there is that. One notch.
Oh, yeah.
That one notch. And if you are, they're a March Madness team.
Yes.
Once out of 3 or 4 years or something. That notch suddenly. For football, it's winning more games than you're losing, it seems like.
Right now. Oh,
for
yeah,
basketball,
yeah.
It's like to go from a really good basketball team, what you guys are winning regular season game after like crazy. Yeah. You've been to two Big Sky conference championship games.
Yeah, we've been to the mountaintop.
You've been
twice.
To the mountaintop.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this, the difference between going to the mountaintop and just actually getting over that final. It's so thin, but so once thin. You pop through it, it's like, whoa. And then it's easier to draw like crazy. So you talk about community buy-in.
Yep.
It's there for you guys, but it's like that's next step. You see it. It's crazy how that works.
No, and for us, we own it, like in the sense, like, you know, we were 3 minutes away last year. It was a 1-point game with 3 minutes to go. Didn't get it done. Us and Montana were about as equal of teams. We shared the Big Sky Championship in the regular season. We split in the regular season. It was at 1 point, like, it was, you know, for the casual fans, like, what a great story for us. I mean, not getting that last 3 minutes done. I mean, if we get to March Madness, and we believed we were going to get it done last year, if we believe it changes the course of our school. We honestly believe that. Well, that sounds arrogant. I don't mean it that way, but what happens is, the exposure you get on national TV. And I felt this at Weber State. When we won it at Weber State, went to March Madness. 2:15 game is us versus Xavier. And our admissions department was so excited for two reasons. The first round game for us was a Friday, not a Thursday. So they could pump it one more day. And you saw these admissions applications go through the roof. And then we got a primetime game on TNT. So it was the TNT Friday night game. And honestly, like, our admissions enrollment jumped. And smaller schools like ours, that's the thing, is like, we believe, and it's, you know, the cross that we bear is that, hey, if we're good and if we can win, we can change the direction of our school. I honestly believe that because I've seen it and everyone talks about it. You talk with these smaller schools and the really small schools that, you know, I'm trying to think of the one, what was the Peacock? St. Peter's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was huge. Like, you can change the course of the direction of your school. So, like, yes, that is the last notch, and we've been to the mountaintop twice with two really good teams in the past 4 years. Not in the past 40, the past 4 years. We've been there, and it's so hard to get there, but we got to push over the top, and it drives us. It drives us crazy, but it also drives us to work right every day.
It's it's so tough because basketball is just that sport. The NBA, they have a best of seven because they know that one game ain't going to cut it, and for you guys, you could win. How many regular season games did you win last year? It was like 20.
Well, we finished with 25.
25.
We won we won two in the Big Sky. So we finished with 23 wins.
Yeah, a lot of wins.
It's a ton.
And that doesn't get a glance at an at-large because we know you have to win. And we've talked about that before, too.
One big league, and it'll never
wouldn't
change.
That be, yeah.
It'll never change.
And that's just, I hate it, but I understand it 100%.
It is what it is.
But you bring up, like, you know, teams that we didn't. Florida Gulf Coast.
Yes.
That's another one. That's like a household name in my brain now.
Yes.
Because of what they did, that
and the
one run.
Dunk City.
Yeah, Dunk City. Yeah, they were so much fun. Yeah. And honestly, I don't watch a lot of their games. It's just if you mention Florida Gulf Coast, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that was the Duncan Crazy team several years ago. But it's a household name.
It's a household name. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. And going back to the football thing, talking to Coach Lamb, and it's he's like, look, he's so humble. He's like, everyone's excited. He goes, we're 3-3.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, his expectations are higher than anybody else's. That dude's a winner, right? You know, he won it at Southern Utah. And so he's tasted it. He's like, you know, the bar right now has been low. And now it's like, whoa, wait a second. We actually can be successful. And Coach Lamb's like, we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my, and I love it. And the other, you know, really just, and there's a ton of winning programs at UNC, but the anomaly of Coach Oates, right? Like with women's volleyball, they've been to they've won it so many years, you know, in a row and in the past 10 and 15 is that, you know, the expectation is we need to win this. And then she's at a point in time when I think the reason they kind of juiced up their non-con schedule so hard, I mean, you want to look at a tough schedule. And right now they're like the 32nd best attendance in the country. How about that stat? Mm. 32nd in the country.
Wow.
But they jacked their non-conference up because it's like if we can win the Big Sky, if we have a few more marquee non-conference wins, it gives them a better seating in their version of March Madness because she's like, it's time for us to go win a game in the national tournament. And so – but we need a better seed. And so it's interesting just as you kind of go through these dynamics of the teams and watching what different teams are doing. But, yeah, I mean, for us, I mean, it's we're just excited. You know, we're excited to go play Wyoming. Like – it's time.
I'm ready to go. I mean, this weekend was good. You know, obviously UNC won, but yeah. You know, regionally, the teams that we're following, other than Air Force, although it's still freaking entertaining because they score a million points
right now.
But other than last weekend, I was just like, let's get to bat. I still am, though. Getting to basketball. I don't know why, but I'm just going through notes from last year. I'm searching different tweets and interviews we've had on of where I was this time last year, and it was just everything promoting, getting ready for basketball. And I love it. It's an exciting time, Coach.
It certainly is. And let's talk about the Wyoming game. Let's talk about preparation for the basketball, you know, people that really listen to this basketball-wise. Here's some behind the scenes, like, how do you travel? What do you do? You know, 2 days. So right now we're 2 days before the game, and so here's the deal. So we took yesterday off. Really getting into the weeds before your first game. You can start official practice 42 days before your first game. It's called 42-30 or 30-42. So you just get back and you kind of go back 40. Okay, that's our first official practice. You're allowed 30 practices before your first game. Mm. So you have to have 12 off days. So then you go through and you pick off all these off days. Like for me, Sundays are always off unless we have a game on Monday or something like that. But like I don't want to do anything on a Sunday. So, okay, Sundays are off. Okay, now we got to sprinkle in. I don't ever want to go more than 3 days in a row. So, okay, we went 3 days. Okay, there's an off day because I don't want to go 4 days in a row. I think it burns your guys out and guys get hurt. So long story short, we knew we were playing on a Saturday for Wyoming. We took Wednesday, which was yesterday was off. So we had like media day and pictures, but we took yesterday off so that we only had 2 days to prepare for Wyoming. We could have prepared for 5 days, but I don't want to do that because that's not realistic in the season. So took yesterday off. We're sitting here on a Thursday, 2 days before the game. Well, what do you do? We're going to practice. We're going to get after it. We'll do a little Wyoming preparation, but we'll also do some blue versus white, you know, tightening down our stuff first to try to make it more about us. But we will have you know, our five youngest guys right now are kind of like our youth team is our scout team, and it fits really well. And that's not to say these guys might carve out real roles on the team too, but it's a perfect scout team, and they're young and paying their dues. So you got Tanner Burkett at the one, Ramirez at the two or three, Will Dixion at the two or three, so there's your two wings, Walker Asp at the four, and Hunter Caldwell at the five. So we have a great scout if they're all healthy. Got a great scout team. So today we will incorporate. Brett Clofield is the scout coach for this game. So he's been preparing forever. He's on edge right now and he's all excited. So we will do some stuff without like breaking down plays and stuff. We're going to kind of go through some of the ways that they want to play us on both sides of the ball. So we'll have a section of attacking ice. They like to ice ball screens. We don't ice ball screens. This is going to be good for us. We don't see it, you know, for the last 56 practices. We've never seen it. In Europe, we didn't see ice. And so we're going to see some ice. And so it's like, okay, let's work on just, you know, just playing and working on attack and ice. And then it's like, okay, some of the stuff they do offensively, we're going to try to guard that stuff in different ball screen coverages that we do. So you're bouncing back and forth into practice, and we go live on this stuff today. We don't break it down. They go here to here to here. We call it live with mystery. So we just go and play. If you get punked, if you get scored on, boom, stop it. If you get a stop, though, we let you blow it back in terms of transition. So we have this big old section of 5 minutes of this, 5 minutes of this. They might do a little zone, a little press, 5 minutes of this, and just – and we're not over teaching anything. I don't want to get like into coach breakdown, scout. I just want to play. But like, hey, here's what you're going to see. So it turns into just – we look terrible. It's nuts. It's just gross. It's bad. And that's totally fine. But then we can grab it on film. So we'll go through practice today. Most of the stuff is live 5-on-5. And then at the end of practice, so we're 2 days before for the people that listen to this for the basketball perspective, now at the end of practice, we'll do live film with our guys. So what we'll do is we'll just – sometimes we just do it right in the practice room, or sometimes we go to the film room, whatever. And none of this film is public, but both to us and Wyman, we've shared our own scrimmages, our inter-squad scrimmages with each other so that we know what to work on. We got to use this as a game, right? When you get to the real games, film has to be uploaded and stuff. So, like, we're not sharing this with the public. But now the live film portion is we try in a traditional game to show our guys, like, the first two media timeouts of the team's previous game. So, like, 8 minutes, right? So the media timeouts every 4 minutes. Just 8 minutes of live film. It's hard when you're watching Wyoming versus Wyoming because it's inter-squad. So, we're watching the offense or the defense. So it gets a little choppy that way. But they still get the point. Like, hey, watch this on offense. Watch this on defense. Hey, this guy's a sniper. This guy, we'll treat this guy as a driver, okay? And just so they start to see the stuff after we've done it on the floor with no preparation. Now it clicks a little bit. Then you go one day before, right? So, okay, now we got travel. Well, we're going to fly to almost every game, right? Unless you're playing CU, DU, Air Force, whatever it is. Like, those are all buses, right? But we usually fly. Now, this is a little unique because this is a bus trip, but it's a little further than Laramie. It's like a 4 or 5 hour bus trip. So we're going to get up. The bus will be docked at 9:30 in front of the arena. We'll leave at 10 a.m. Chick-fil-A breakfast boxes. Ooh, it's good.
You can't beat those.
No, yeah, it's good. And, you know, we're healthy. So we've removed the biscuit as the side, and we got this fresh fruit. This, like, and Chick-fil-A does a tremendous job. Shout out Chick-fil-A. So we get in the bus, roll up there. 3 or 4 hours later, you heard of Lusk, Wyoming? Not many have.
No.
And not many. Oh, it's on the interstate.
Okay.
I-25. Not a lot of food options. We will be pulling over at the gas, I guess you, not just the gas station. What do you call the travel?
Like a truck stop kind of. Yeah, yeah.
And there's a Subway. So we're pre-ordering the Subway at the truck stop, right? So
we're all there. That's my kind of trip right there.
So, you know, grab the Subway. You had to pre-order that. Coach Colin does all of our operational stuff. So he sends out – it's called the JOT form. And so he sends it out to this – and you got to be specific and you type it in. Then it populates a spreadsheet. He sends it to Subway and they prep our stuff. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
And we do that with a lot of our stuff. So we grab the stuff, you know, go to the bathroom, you know, get out, stretch, whatever it is. Roll up the interstate. It's going to be windy. It's always windy in that part of Wyoming. Get to the cutoff and go to Gillette. So we get to Gillette like 3 o'clock. Our practice slot is 5:30 to 7. This is cool that we're talking about this.
Yeah, I like it.
5:30 to 7. Now, we will be taped and braced. I don't know how much live we'll go, maybe a little bit, but we also will do some kind of breakdown of their baseline out of bounds. We'll do some breakdown stuff because that's what we do the day before a game and really try to prepare our guys. Finish that practice at 7 o'clock. Now, with our dinner, our dinner meal, this is where we do personnel. This is where Coach Klopfel, again, he's the scout coach. So Klop does the personnel edit. And it's hard, again, because in a normal situation, you got 8 or 9 guys that that will play. We're going to have to go about 12 deep, right, because they're going to play a lot of guys. We're going to play a lot of guys. So it's a longer personnel. But it's – what do you show on that? You know, each guy, the top guys, 7, 8 clips, no more than 9, and then you start to move through their roster. And we know who they're going to start. They know who we're going to start, so we can build an actual scout out of this thing. But you go to the personnel clips, and it's like we put the little PowerPoint, you know, graphic up, talk for a couple, you know, hey, this guy, here's his game, how to guard, you know, like 3 bullet points on each. We don't go crazy deep on any of this stuff. I think less is more. Guys have a little personnel sheet, right? And then show the clips, and we go guy by guy by guy. It's going to take 45 minutes for sure. So we do personnel film with our team. Night before is what we always do, day before. Go to bed, stay at the hotel. And then with the 4 p.m. tip, on Saturday. It's 4 p.m. tip. We know pregame meal has to be at 12. We believe in the 4 hours before. So we've got to build it around the meal schedule. We are practicing from 10:30 to 11:30. Not at Gillette College. Not us or Wyoming. We are at Coach Sonny's high school in the morning. We're going to practice Friday at Gillette College at the Pronghorn Center. But on Saturday, there's something going on in the morning. We are at Campbell County High School, the home of Sundance Wicks. And so they're going like 9:30 to 10:30. We're going 10:30 to it's exactly how it goes in a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, home team kind of chooses what they want to do. But we go 10:30 to 11:30, get back to the hotel, have the pregame meal at noon, dismiss the guys. I do a little film on the day of the game, you know, how to attack them, how to defend them. So they're getting a film hit today, 2 days before. A personnel hit, which has a lot of the kind of system stuff in there too, but the personnel hit 2 days or the day before. Let me back up. 2 days before, we're doing live film, which is today.
Yeah.
Day before, just for the listeners taking like, you know, elite notes on this, day before the personnel film, which is Coach Clope, day of, I will do two more short edits, attack the pokes, defend the pokes. And so our guys are getting a slow, steady rein of how to guard them, what the personnel is, how to guard them. And we believe by the time we start that game, we are extremely dialed in. And so this is what a great opportunity, right, to play this game, to get our system down, to get the travel down, right? This is how we travel. We usually don't bus 5-6 hours, but to understand what the day before the game looks like, the hotel, just get our systems down so that, you know, our first two games are at home, Colorado College, Colorado Christian, but then our next game after that in Malibu, play Pepperdine. I don't want to feel like when we get to Malibu, well, how do we – what's the process, Coach?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's what we did against Wyoming. I'm not worried about the result. I want to win this game. But I want to make sure we understand our structures, our habits, our systems, so that when we get to the Pepperdine game, right, in Malibu, we have every intention of being a well-oiled machine to go win that game.
Well, and no matter how many times these guys have done this, you know, your veterans on this team – it's still a way to build a rhythm, you know, because
that's the word.
Getting everybody kind of in that rhythm so that whatever we do. I mean, if you take a week off of work, you go on vacation, you take a week or two off of work, you come back on the Monday, you're like, oh, how do I break into this thing? You're using this as kind of that break into this thing for the season.
Rhythm is the perfect word. We had this secret scrimmage a week ago, and even getting a rhythm for that, like we still treated that like we had a scout, we had a personnel. For me, having a rhythm, right, like having a game script before the game so I know what I want to put on the board or what I want to tell the guys, that's already preloaded up for me. Like I'm preparing for that the day before. So, yeah, the rhythm, that is the key word, Brady, like getting a rhythm in these opportunities so that – and even like going to next Thursday, the 23rd, that roll call scrimmage for our donors. And if anyone is listening to this and they have not RSVP'd to me, shoot me an email so I can get you on the list so we get the appropriate amount of food. But – even that, from a basketball perspective, we'll do a full warm-up before we play. It's our only time playing in the Bank Card Arena before we play real games. So we better get our warm-up down, right? Like our routines down, our game day situations. So like, yes, rhythm and routine is critical. I think, you know, understanding structure and having habits, I think it's critical to success in anything. So we're trying to get that down.
Next week, Coach, I want to spend some time just kind of talking about your expectations of this roster.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you year after year, you guys have landed, whether recruiting guys or transfer guys,
mm-hmm.
You'll tell me, I'll be like, hey, St. Thomas, any good? What's he going to be? And you, we'll see. And then he flips out. And, Dalton Connect going to be good? We'll see. Boom. He's now a Los Angeles Laker. So I'm really curious to kind of get your sense of this roster at this point compared to what we've seen over the last couple of years.
Well, I think, you know, we can preview that a little bit because I'm learning more. Like I learned more after our secret scrimmage. And then I'll learn a lot more after this Wyoming game, right? And what I mean by that is like, well, don't you already know you've practiced 56 times? Absolutely. But at the same point in time, when those lights come on and you got real fans, like we'll learn a lot. I mean, Pronghorn Center holds like 1,700 people supposedly. A week ago, Sonny said that they had pre-sold already at that point like 1,200 tickets. That's a week ago. We both believe it's – at this point, maybe it's 14, 15, maybe it's – I don't know. But we believe that's going to be a raucous – crowd.
That's exciting.
And they're not wearing blue and gold.
Yeah.
They're wearing brown and gold. And so we're going to learn like who cowers away from those lights. Hopefully nobody, but who cowered and who embraces that. Like, let's embrace this, right? So we're learning a lot about the roster. But, you know, and I know we've talked a lot about the Brox, Quinn, Zachs. I mean, obviously that's those guys are such a critical part of it. But to figure out, like I learned in our secret scrimmage, I can't really divulge, but I learned a player that I had lower down the totem pole. When he got the opportunity, he played really well. He jumped two or three spots. I did not anticipate that. Or I would have had the guy two or three spots higher, right? Mm. So you're learning and you're moving things around. And again, health is a big thing too. But if you're fully healthy, trying to learn, oh, shoot, this looks pretty good. We had a lineup that we've dabbled in the foreign trip where it's like Brock and Egan together. Is it really going to work? Because they're two of our best players. And we can't just have those guys just, well, they're only the fives, right? Like, well, can Brock be a four? Which absolutely he can. But what does it look like? And we did that in that secret scrimmage, and I felt really good about that. And we'll try it again against Wyoming. That's no secret to those guys. So, like, yeah, like we're still figuring it out. But learning when you get the bright lights on, even in our arena, I mean, it's not going to be packed because it's just, you know, kind of for our – it's for our round ball, our season tickets, our alums, our donors, our sponsors. But – having 130, 150 people in there staring at you, it's awkward and it's weird. And you learn about human nature a little bit. And so we're just trying to, you know, put more stuff into the memory bank as we move forward.
Are there guys that you've had in the past or whatever where they don't practice very well, but once you get them on the game?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why, like, a game like
gamers,
this.
Gamers.
So how frustrating is that?
Well, the problem for these guys is that if you haven't practiced well,
you don't even get into that spot.
You're probably not in the top 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So
you got to practice good enough to at least get on the radar.
Yeah. These guys, this team practices so well, and most of our teams just practice so well. But it's like, we've had guys before, it's like, man, this guy is not, you know, motor's fine, but it's not great. And he's clearly one of our best players. And we better give him a chance. And there have been guys like that before that have, like, once the bright lights came on, totally different human being. Like, whoa, this guy's really good.
Weird. Right?
It's weird. But that just goes back to some guys are gamers. Some guys are not great practice players.
Because they need that. What is that, coach? They need the pressure. They need the lights. They need whatever. They need that to send them over the top.
They enjoy it.
Yeah.
Some guys, like, you know, we used to call it even like from a workout. We had a couple guys back in the day, you know, when Coach Linder was here and I was more in the assistant role working guys out and stuff. When I was in the gym with a couple guys, like, I mean, they look like all Americans. The second Linder would walk in the gym, they would tense up, freeze up. They're just a different player. And you talk to, you know, you're trying to say, hey, look, just so you know, like, if you're going to play, the head coach is going to be in the arena in the game. So, like, you're going to have to figure this anxiety out, right?
Wow.
And most guys get over it, but, like, there are some guys that when whatever pressure point hits them, the boss comes in. There's people there, the crowd's there, you know, the moment gets 4 minutes left and it's tie game. And hopefully it never happens, but it is realistic that some people just have that performance anxiety and they can't get it done. And so we're trying to accumulate that as well. All we're trying to do before this thing gets real on November 3rd is get the best starting point, knowing too that, like I was saying with John Cooch earlier, it's going to change. This is just a starting point. And so the hardest thing is the human nature of the guys. If they don't have the role they want early on, we always tell them, you're going to quit on yourself a lot sooner than we're going to quit on you. Do not quit on yourself. Keep chipping away. And I think our guys understand that. We give enough examples because it happens all the time, but it is hard.
Well, I'm really interested to see kind of, you know, from your perspective, to see how this game goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then to kind of get somewhat of an assessment of how you see the rotation kind of looking too. I think that would be a treat for a lot of the podcast listeners to kind of hear what that roster is starting to look like.
Yeah, I think by next week we could definitely talk about it, because it's like, you know, we're going to play 6 guys, we're going to play 10 guys. The realistic number is about 8. You know, I've talked to some of my, you know, coaching friends. I think Wyoming's in the same, since this is their first opportunity to play anybody, they're going to play like 12 guys.
Yeah.
And we won't keep it to 8. You know, I want guys to get opportunities, but it'll be limited roles. Talking to Coach Ali, you know, across the interstate, like, he really likes his team. And he's like, man, like, I'm trying to play 10, 11 guys. And, like, there are ways to do it, but it's hard. Those 200 minutes burn, right? I think about Montana last year. Ultimately, and I'll give their head coach, Travis DeCure, great credit. They played 7 guys. 7 guys. And they had to start, and they were all really good players, and they just kind of rotated them around. They went from a big team to a 4-guard team. Just kind of. But what he did do is that guy 8, 9, 10, and that kind of moved around all over the place. But he'd throw an eighth guy in there, a ninth guy in there for like limited minutes and this and that. And he kept him – the point being, he kept him going. Because if someone gets hurt, you're only playing 7 guys and 9 mm-hmm. guys are mentally checked out, you're screwed. So how do you keep guys going? Say, hey, man, like you've earned it. Like you're not in the top 7, top 8, whatever it is. When we were in the Big Sky Championship 4 years ago, we had 6 pros. And like they've turned into 6 really good pros.
Yeah.
Dalton, Dalen, Bodie, Matt Johnson, Coor, Drew Cuxhausen. It was hard to say, hey, you guys are like, we have 6 starters, but you can only start 5 guys. How do we work on that issue? But everyone after the top 6 was very minimal roles, right? So it's like 6 guys got the majority of the minutes. But then there have been other years where it's like 9, 10 guys. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is this more like an 8-man rotation? Is it 6? Is it 10? And that line starts to emerge too. And that's why we will rank our players. Again, forget positions. Just rank these guys.
Yeah, and I love that.
Yeah, and it happens.
In a perfect world, what would your perfect ideal rotation be as far 8. As numbers? Is it 8?
I think it's 8.
Because even if you have – because if you talk 7, whatever, but you still want to have an extra guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's just ready, that's in. Plus, you want to keep as many guys happy as you can too. I mean, that's a balance as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think 8. But I think last year we got to the point of playing 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, that team was wildly successful playing 9 guys. And – you know, with that being said, they didn't all have the same minutes by any means, but like we got to the point of playing 9 guys. And, you know, you look at like our 5s, Brock and then Egan back 5, but then Tayshaun Jackson was a small ball switch 5, helped us win a ton of games. So there are ways to do it. You just got to get creative. You got to kind of let the dust settle, see what the injury game is presenting as well, because sometimes the injury game, you know, forces your hand in what you got to do anyways. And knock on wood, we've done a great job with health so far, but we haven't even played a game yet.
Yeah, well, and then you'll get a sample of that coming up here. And it's not a sample for us, I suppose, but you guys are treating this thing like the real deal.
Absolutely.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Coach, just to kind of run down the schedule and
sure.
everything, obviously the round ball roll call scrimmage, you talked about that before too, but if people are interested and saying, hey, I want to be a donor, I want to get involved with UNC,
yeah.
I want to go to this event, where do they go?
Just literally email. I mean, it's on the website. I don't hide my email address. It's steve.smiley@unco.edu, but it's on there on uncbears.com. And that would be a great event to go to because we talk a lot about, you know, joining the round ball and where the, you know,
the
where
benefits
the benefits and the tax write off and, you know, the different levels. And in that deal, we just had building champions for the whole, you know, UNC athletic department. But our deal was we had a match and we're going to keep pumping that during this one event. And the match was a $30,000 match. We had a donor, and it's public. So, you know, Richmark came out and they put a $30,000 match on the table for donations up to that amount. So if you donate to the round ball, which helps fuel the program, and we need it desperately every year just in terms of how we want to run this thing, the old champagne program on a beer budget, like we want to run this thing like a top 100 program in the country. That takes funding. But with that match, Richmark matched it with $30,000, what's called Alston funding, which is similar to NIL or RevShare or whatever, but it's the ability to help your guys financially for academic based awards. And so if people donate, it's a 2-for-1. Now that building champions campaign is already done, but we're going to open that window, that opportunity on next Thursday, the 23rd.
Awesome.
So like we're going to really talk about the round ball. We have a little video at halftime, which is a foreign trip recap. Oh yeah, so you get a little foreign trip recap video, and because again, that was all donor based.
Yeah.
That was the round ball, and if we don't have round ball, we don't go to Lisbon, Portugal. That's impossible. School does not give money for those type of trips. You got to go raise that. That's not like a $3,000 trip. Bringing 22 people to Europe costs a little money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you know, the function and the purpose of the round ball is just vital. And so, yeah, that would be the way to do it. And you don't have to go on the 23rd. To donate to the round. You can donate right now. Give to UNC.org, I believe is the email, 2 as in the number 2. But very easy to donate. But this is a big event, you know, for our donors, for our season ticket holders, for our alums, for our sponsors. Those are the markets we're targeting because we got to pay a bunch of money for this food, right? Like at the end of the day, we are providing a free meal. And it ain't cheap. And so we're trying to get the headcount as realistic as possible so we don't waste, you know, on the one end, waste, you know, we order 40 meals that don't get consumed, and that's a ton of waste of money. Or on the other end, don't order enough food, right? And you got a bunch of people sitting there saying, ah, there was a free dinner, and I got one breadstick. You know? And yeah. So, yeah, like, it's a fine line.
It's an awesome – I love it. I've gone to a couple of these over the years. In fact, that was – we talked about this last week, but that was when I first – like, Brock Wisney's out there. What is this guy going to be?
Yeah.
You know, he's really – big and it looks raw, but he's not refined yet. And then suddenly, you know, so that was cool because I remember sitting with a bunch of guys. Yeah. I think it was like our friends like Jeff and Matt, the First Advantage guys, and they're like, "Man, that Wisney kid, he's really, really good. Hopefully, they can sharpen his skills up." And then here we are.
And I just think people would get out there and be like, "This Rainieri kid,
yeah.
How long are his he got a 7'3" wingspan.
Yeah.
And man, Arik, I remember it was he redshirted last year. Whoa, he's pretty good. And then Vince Delano, that guy's got some speed on him, right? Mm-hmm. Man, Egan's really – so, like, I just think that players being able to play in front of people, like, you learn – it's not – we don't play a full 40. It's like a 12-12 or a 10-10, but it's enough to – like, it's an hour of basketball.
Yeah.
And then we walk right down when our guys go quickly clean up, wash their hands, throw a hoodie on. All the donors getting two lines for the buffet style dinner, and then we got all the tables spread out, and there's one player at every table, one player or coach at every table, and you get to meet these people. And I get up there and do my song and dance and introduce everybody. I love doing it, but I think you walk away from that 2 hours and you're like, wow, I got to see these guys, I got to meet these guys, I got to hear about the program. I think there's a massive amount of information consumed in a short amount of time, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's just a great start to the season.
I love it. It's getting involved with your basketball program is fun, and I'm honored to be able to go to these and do these podcasts with you, Coach. I've loved it over the years. My friend, we'll look forward to catching up with you next week after the exhibition game that we've talked about.
Yeah.
And then we start looking at the real deal.
Yeah, we talk after the Wyoming game, we'll have a better feel for what's going on, and we just start building from there.
All right, Coach. Appreciate you as always, my friend.
Thanks, Brady. Appreciate you.
All right. The Two-Man Game podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
The Two-Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Northern Colorado men's basketball returns to the court for the 2025 season. Be a part of the action and help the Bears defend the den. Season tickets are now on sale as the Bears defend the Big Sky Conference regular season title. Purchase tickets online by visiting uncbears.com/tickets. Remember, this is Bear Country. Go Bears!